And welcome along to another episode of The Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post. I'm Dave Clark. He is Steve Palmer. Just the one event to preview this week, one on the Asian Tour, but two to look back on, two corkers as well, Steve. A good weekend of golf.
A good weekend of golf. The golf betting did not go to plan, scrapping around for place money in the Genesis Championship and then just continued frustration throughout the Bank of Utah Championship. So, yeah, much to discuss. We're going to dust ourselves down and go again.
Yes, I think I must have texted you at least twice saying in Thagala we trust, but it didn't quite come to fruition, unfortunately.
No. There was a lot of players we entrusted that didn't work out. I mean, Sahi Thagala had a different putting grip last week, and the engagement euphoria that you were banking on seemed to disappear quite fast.
Yeah, just quickly, I mean, we're going to get to all of that, but that is the kind of the level in which detail you're going into. I've texted you and you've gone, not this week, mate, is doing something different with a putter.
Yeah. I like to watch the early coverage because it wasn't full coverage early on last week, but you get to watch certain players. And obviously, Sahith, very popular player. He's always going to be featuring in the coverage. And, this was a player that was a fantastic putter, putting conventionally. And I hate to see a really good putter suddenly switching grips. And, he didn't look good on the greens last week. And, the injury's not properly healed. And he just come back from like a little trip to a Sunshine Isle to celebrate this. So he just looks away with the fairies. Yeah, he's going to enjoy his engagement. And, the bank balance is immense. And he hasn't got to fret about any personal matters. But his golf game for me is still a bit ropey. But, obviously, I would have liked you to win. If I don't win, Dave, I want you to win.
Yes, I appreciate that. But you was very you very brashly just pricked my bubble of enthusiasm and hope, and it burst. And then, like my dreams, they fade and die, as the famous song goes, which is more than one thing in my life at the moment. Absolute misery. But anyway. Right. We're here, of course, on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Do get involved with us. If you are an unhappy hammer like me, listen, we can shed a tear of sorrow together. But this is all about the golf. Of course, did you manage to find the winner last week? Do get in touch with us. We'd like to know who you're playing this week. You know, if anyone's got an angle into the Asian Tour event, do get involved. And of course, hit that notification bell as well. So when we upload, you will know what is going on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Right, Genesis Championship then, won by Young Won Lee. Apologies for the pronunciation. That's what we're going with, though. 11 under par. Nacho Rivera, 8 under, along with Laurie Cantor, and then Pavon, Andy Sullivan, among a few others, at 7 under par. What did you make of this one, Steve?
Yeah, very good pronunciation, Dave. I mean, this is a 300-1 chance. I mean, I don't know many people. I'd be very impressed if anyone did back him last week, but I think he was really difficult to find. He was world number 451 going into last week's event. He'd won a couple of Korean Tour events, but the last of those was in 2018. He's never made an impact at a higher grade, but it's always possible to shoot an amazing Sunday score and cruise through the pack, isn't it? I mean, he shot a final round 64, so there's no pressure on him really when he starts out. And then he shoots a 64, the front runners falter, and suddenly he's got a DP World Tour card. Yeah, this is not a youngster. This is a 34-year-old that's had his life changed now. Delighted for Jun Huang Lee, gutted for the punting community because I just don't think anyone would have backed him.
We call that a skinner in the industry, a skinner, yeah. An absolute skinner. So our first DP World Tour event for him, a first Korean winner on the tour since this event last year, and a 14th player from Korea to win a tour event. I suppose it helps, Steve, if the chasing pack start sticking it in the drink as well.
Yeah. Nacho surrendered quite meekly, didn't he? Nacho Alvira. I mean, Laurie Cantor would be pleased with tied for second place. Yeah, Laurie Cantor had this amazing start to the season. Do you remember? We were all over him at the start of the year. And then he had a real fallow period. And it was great to see Cantor back to form last week, doing what he does best, you know, pounding greens in regulation over the weekend. And that tied second was really significant because I think it essentially wraps up a PGA Tour card for next year. I'd be surprised if he fails to get a PGA Tour card from the Race to Dubai rankings. And that is enormous for Cantor. And it's enormous for the world of golf because Laurie Cantor became the first former LIV player to play in a PGA Tour event in March. Remember, in the Players' Championship, he played in that. So that was a step to uniting golf. in a way. But now he's going to become the first former LIV player to get a PGA Tour card. So this is big news. He's ninth in the standings at the moment. I think he's got the playoffs to come. I think he's going to get a PGA Tour card, which is huge. Yeah, you've got Donald Trump charging around the world on peacekeeping missions, haven't you? And now you've got this Englishman, humble Laurie Cantor, potentially uniting planet golf. You know, bringing the Americans and the Saudi Arabians together through Laurie Cantor, the Englishman. Because yeah, the PGA Tour are going to have to give Laurie Cantor his card back. Give him his PGA Tour playing rights, and that's just a step. You know, we're always keen to bring everyone together, aren't we, on this podcast? And yeah, this is a step. Laurie Cantor getting that PGA Tour card will be a step.
Harmony, golf in harmony. That's what harmony. We like. Note on the DP World Tour playoffs. Three of the top guns in there. The winner, Elvira and Pavon, all jumped into the top 70. So things are hot up there as well.
That's it. Yeah, we got the Abu Dhabi Championship, then the DP World Tour Championship. So we've got some great stuff coming up. We haven't got any this week on the DP World Tour. A little rest week. I mean, Angel Ayora is a player to keep your eye on as well, Dave. I don't know how closely you were following Angel Ayora last week. I mean, we had two players tied for seventh. Two players tied for second would have been fantastic. Two players tied for seventh, Ayora and Dietrich. But unfortunately, tied seventh with five other players. It was one of those weeks where, really, if you did get a place return, it would have been eaten into. And Ayora backers just broken hearted in the middle of the night, in the early hours of Sunday morning. I was staying at my mother in law's house on Saturday night. I didn't get much sleep.
Sorry to hear that, mate. Yeah.
I didn't get much sleep on Saturday night. And then every time I woke up, I would check the golf scores. You know, I did try and. Put golf to one side. But if you're awake anyway, you're going to check the golf scores, aren't you? And Angel Ayora looked like he was going to be the man doing the Junhwang Lee, because Junhwang Lee shot 64 and shot from just off the pace to victory. Angel Ayora was 3 under par through six holes. He looked for all the tea in China to be the man that was going to set the clubhouse mark. But then on the ninth hole, Dave, he hooked two balls out of bounds. On the ninth hole, he's playing five off the tee on the par four ninth, made a snowman, quadruple bogey eight, and then ended up finishing seventh. So I the Ayora snowman was the snow angel was an absolute disaster, and
that's not going to make you want to roll over and go back to sleep, is it?
No, it certainly didn't. He dropped four shots on one on, and he loses the tournament by five shots. And you can play all this what if, but what if Junhwang Lee birdied the final hole to get to 11 under and win? What if Angel Ayora was on 10 under par when Junhwang Lee's playing that final hole, knowing he needs a birdie to win? Would he have got the birdie? But I would suspect not. But yeah, Angel Ayora played brilliant last week. He had car busters the week before an injury. Remember, we were talking about his car busters. He had one significant car buster this time that denied him a chance to certainly get the full place and possibly the win. Frustrating business for Angel Ayora fans. But keep an eye on him. He's just pure class.
What is your go-to for the fastest and most reliable of the golf scores? You just going to the official site, or you got somewhere else?
I like the official site because I like the shot trails, and there's other opportunities out there, other bookmakers that you can get that. But I mean, when you're in the middle of the night at the mother-in-law's house, and there's dogs everywhere, and there's kids everywhere, you can't really you can't make any noises. The pressure not to wake anyone up is severe. So even when Angel Ayora made the snowman, I didn't even whimper, Dave. I didn't even whimper. I leave that to the doggies. You're just a frustrating night. And I woke up Sunday morning a little bit cheesed off. But this is golf betting. And and Angel Ayora did a damn sight better than Rasmus Nygaard-Petersen. Don't worry, I'm not going to move on without addressing the fact that Rasmus Nygaard-Petersen was really disappointing. Tied 65th, tailed off. And the most annoying aspect of him, one of the many annoying aspects of him was that he suddenly came to life with five holes to play. So he's completely tailed off and out of it.
Yeah,
played the last five, the pressure's off, played the last five holes brilliantly, 3 under par for the final five, took 67 holes to wake up. And I just have to accept that I have to accept putting is a weakness with Rasmus Nygaard-Petersen. We've all got weaknesses, Dave.
That's quite a big one to have in golf, though.
We've all got weaknesses. Even you, Dave, behind all that bravado, behind all that cockney bravado, there's, you're riddled with weaknesses. So am I, Dave. But Rasmus Nygaard Pedersen, you look at Rasmus Nygaard Pedersen, and I thought, oh, mate, yeah, this fella's got the lot. But his putting is a bit dodgy, and I need to accept that.
That's fine. Well, listen, as long as you can accept that, my self-esteem has just been shot to bits. I'm riddled with weakness. Should we move on then? I mean, I personally like my disappointment to come on a Sunday evening rather than a Sunday morning.
What
we've got in the Bank of Utah Championship. Listen, this is an incredible story. Michael Brennan, 22 under par, a sponsor exception, first PGA Tour start as a professional.
Yeah.
This is like, if anyone has found the double this week, you can just retire from betting because you will never find anything like this weekend ever again.
Yeah, I think you're right. If you found the double, get in the comment section because that would have been an incredible achievement. I mean, I wasn't kicking myself about missing the Genesis Championship winner. I think it was impossible in my eyes, unless you're just throwing random darts at South Koreans.
I mean, it's remiss of me. I didn't actually know what price he was.
He was 300 to 1 in a pretty low grade event in his homeland. So, yeah, unless you had a policy of backing all the South Koreans, and I don't think you would have succeeded with him. But the PGA Tour winner was backable because of his success on the PGA Tour Americas circuit. He had been playing really, really well on the PGA Tour Americas circuit. He'd won three of his last six events on that. It used to be called the PGA Tour Latino circuit, and it's now the PGA Tour Americas. So he won three of his last six on that. So from August onwards, he's playing sensational golf. But a lot of buts on this show this week, Dave. I like big buts in a can, Adler. But the reason I'm not kicking myself, Dave, I'm not kicking myself about either winner last week, is because the PGA Tour America circuit is the third tier of American golf. It's not like he was tearing up the Corn Ferry Tour. This is the third tier. And I was thinking about it in terms of greyhounds, because I know greyhounds is your great passion in life. Greyhounds first, kids second, wife third. Greyhounds is you live for greyhounds, don't you? And I was thinking the parallels between Brennan and like a greyhound going up the grades is really interesting here. And I'm keen to know your thoughts. Like if this is like a greyhound that was like started in the A10. So he's winning A10s. He's gone A9, A8. But then he's suddenly gone from an A8 to an A3. I mean, does that ever happen?
Dogs do go through the grades. What was interesting is I read your GolfWise preview on the racingpost.com on Sunday.
Yeah.
Just to sort of see what your thoughts were. Sick of texting you that Thagala was going to win. So I thought I'd check the website out to see your thoughts. And you did say that this guy's looked good. And this is just a case of, can he hold it together? You've tipped elsewhere thinking naturally that, you know, when the finish line appears, this guy could be a rabbit in the headlights.
Yeah.
But he held it together. And this was very impressive.
Well, he was 6-4 to win on Sunday. And as you say, like, given his, as you say, first PGA Tour event as a professional, gone up.
Oh, you'd always bet the other way. If you could bet the 4-6 that he doesn't win, you'd have that all day for any maiden leader, if you like.
Yes, because the upgrade was just so significant. And this is why I was as interested in the groundwork. Because if I saw a dog gone A8 to A3, even if he'd been winning like half the track, I'd still be like, very wary of backing him. Yeah, I mean, you know, this was a 66-1 chance last week, Dave. So 66-1, having gone up all those grades in a 132 runner race against PGA Tour professionals. I don't like dogs that are upgraded that much, and I don't like players that are upgraded that much. So I'm not going to kick myself, Dave. Even though he was world number 111 going into last week's event, so it's not like this is some unknown. He's a world number 111. Now he's world number 43, Dave,
and he's changed his life. Gets a 2-year exemption. There's no Corn Ferry Tour. See you later. Off he goes.
Yeah, world number 43, having played one PGA Tour event as a professional. I can't imagine that's ever happened before. I know Ludwig Eberg's rise was sensational, but that world ranking is astonishing, really. But as you say, he looks absolute quality, doesn't he? He doesn't need to bother with the Korn Ferry Tour now, because he'd won three times on the PGA Tour Americas. That meant he got automatic promotion to the Korn Ferry Tour. And apparently his caddy said to him after that, he said, "We're not going to the Korn Ferry Tour." And like, yeah, that's been in his head. He's thinking, what does he mean? And this is what he meant. Get a sponsor's invite, win a PGA Tour event. And yeah, the last two winners of this tournament, Matt McCarty, who we had last year, had a similar rise, but that was on the Korn Ferry Tour. The world of golf is a crazy place. And yeah, this is a pretty crazy story.
Roy the Rover stuff.
Roy the Rovers. Those were the days. I used to enjoy reading that magazine. Our younger readers won't have a clue what we're talking about. I think he looks brilliant, and he's really young. What is he, 23 years of age?
23,
yeah. He's clearly the start of something big, isn't it?
Okay, right. Some of the others, Enrico Henry, David Ford, good showing from Thorbjørn Olesen as well. 16 under par, Ben Silverman, Justin Lowe, Pearson Coody, and Matt McCarty. So, puck out a few names for there, yeah, from us, Steve, sure. And what are your thoughts?
Well, I think Rick O'Hoey, the runner-up, it needs to be seriously examined. Yeah, this is an elite ball striker. Yeah. Supreme ball striker who can't putt. Any week that he putts half decent, he'll have a chance of shedding that PGA Tour maiden tag. He has won on the Korn Ferry Tour in 2023. He's 30 years of age now. Brumander was out on the weekend there. Rick O'Hoey, we have to keep an eye on him. Go to a course where it's all about greens and regulation, a tough golf course. He's a runner. Matt McCarty, you know I love Matt McCarty. He tied third with five others. I was so pleased he didn't win. You know, I had a short list of five, and I eliminated Matt McCarty and Kevin Yu, the last two names off the list. And when they were in the mix, that was adding to my testing Sunday. I would not have liked to see Kevin Yu win. I would not have liked to see Matt McCarty win. I think McCarty will win again fairly soon. I think he's got an X factor. Doesn't hit it far, but everything else he does is really impressive. Kurt Kitayama, no regrets, really. Played some great golf last week, Dave. You know, card busters did him. You know, the angel of yore, a snowman. Kurt Kitayama had four double bogeys last week on a really easy course. And, you know, he closed with a 64, finished 15th. You know, just no good for the places, but eight shots gone on four holes. Maybe wasn't quite ready. He only had one tournament back, the Bay Current. I thought the rust had gone, but there was signs of still a little bit of rust in the system last week. But Kirk, Michael Thorbjørnsen, again, not going to just gloss over the fact that Michael Thorbjørnsen didn't make the impact we hoped for.
When did you stick him in the bins, Dave? You've gone with him quite a few times.
He's not going anywhere near the bin, Dave. You know, his driving last week was, again, magnificent. He's a magnificent driver. He tied 37th. His iron play was a bit looser than usual. So he didn't hit his irons that well. And he just frustration on the putting. You were texting me about Sahith Theegala. I mean, I was texting you about Thorbjørnsen's lip outs, wasn't I? I mean, the lip outs in the first round were just comical, like every putt lipping out. And you know, that was the key for him to get a bit of putting confidence and be away and gone. But the first round couldn't have gone worse in that respect. Nobody in the tournament, this is a fascinating stat, nobody in the tournament made more pars than Michael Thorbjørnsen last week. He made 51 pars. He's on the par train. 51 pars. He's on the par train. 51 pars in 72 holes. Everyone else is making birdies and having lots of fun. It was like a war of attrition following Michael Thorbjørnsen. But his driving was really good, and he's pure class. And one of these days, we'll get a reward with him. But it wasn't to be last week.
Okay, I think I chucked in Enrico Henry there, who's a footballer rather than a golfer. Well, I was going to say have you seen?
We can talk West Ham if you want to talk West Ham, Dave. Nah, lots to discuss.
But have you seen the guy that's growing his hair and he's refusing to cut it until Man United win five games on the spin?
Oh, blimey.
You've seen that? I mean, he's like out here. And it just comes to me that maybe you should grow your hair until Michael Thorbjørnsen wins an event.
Okay, yeah. I'll run that one past the wife. When I'm on the school run with it up here.
I think the account's like, it's appeared on United Stand anyway. He's obviously a big Man United fan.
Well, he's gone out three.
They've won three in a row. So, yeah, you know, yeah.
chances.
He's getting
chances.
A bit excited now. So, but no, there you go. If you want to see Steve grow his hair out until Michael Thorbjornsson does indeed win an event, then get in touch, get in the comments. And I think if we get enough people suggesting it, we'll have to just make it happen. That is for sure.
Sure.
Anything else to add, Steve?
No. I was just thinking maybe I could do the beard. I mean, there'll be health and safety with getting through doors when the hair goes out there, but I could just let the beard just completely grow. I've often worked, because I do have the ability to grow the beard completely over my mouth, because if I do let it go, it just literally just, imagine that look. Yeah, that might be.
I was thinking food getting stuck in everything. No, not for me.
Yeah, okay. Let's see what the comments say. Leave it to the comments.
Asian Tour. Let's move on to the Asian Tour. One event. Right, the International Series, which you'll have to explain to me what that is. 30-plus runners from the LIV Tour lining up here. The winner earns a spot at the Masters and the Open. So this is not just some event happening in Asia. There's a lot on the line here. A good field, an event that has been won previously by Ian Poulter, Rory McIlroy, Justin Rose, Patrick Reed, the defending champion as well. Good field, formerly a European Tour event, dates back to 1959. Loads of course form. We're previewing it, Steve. Is the Hong Kong Open? What else can you add?
Yes, a peculiar moment in the calendar, because we don't normally get weeks where there's no DP World Tour event and no PGA Tour event other than Christmas time. You know, it feels to me like it must be Christmas time today, but it thankfully it's not yet. But the LIV players. We talked about John Rahm going into hibernation for several months, you know, the big grizzly bear. The elite LIV players have done that, it seems. But you've got loads of LIV players in this, giving them some honest employment. This is one of the best Asian Tour events we've had for a while, and at one of the best venues. I love it when we come to this venue. We've had a lot of success betting on this venue in the Hong Kong Open on the European Tour. I'm quietly confident about this week. And we're at a fantastic golf course called Hong Kong Golf Club, Fanling Hong Kong, 6,710 yards. So one of the shortest events that we'll be covering in many a moon. 6,710 yards, par 70, only two par fives. As you say, the Hong Kong Open, DP World Tour event, staged there from 2002 to 2018. Then that became an Asian Tour event for 2020, 2023, and last year. Then LIV got their grubby mitts on the Hong Kong Golf Club, and we had a LIV event there last year. LIV Hong Kong last year, LIV Hong Kong this year. Classic design, demands accuracy from tee to green, dense sets of trees, bunkers, ponds. You know, the errant are severely punished. If you're loose off the tee and loose on approach, you're in big trouble. Look at the honours board, Dave, for clues. Full of straight hitters. Wade Ormsby has won here twice. Aaron Rye, Ben Campbell, Miguel Angel Jimenez. How many times has he won at Hong Kong Golf Club, Dave?
I think you're going to tell me.
Four times.
Oh, wow.
Four times. That's the sort of player you want to be back in. We even got a bit of breeze in the forecast this week. Some moderate breezes at times. Sunny and pleasant, but a little bit of breeze to make it even more difficult. 138 players going to post. Same warning that we had last week for the start time. 11 p.m. UK time, Wednesday night. Around then, they'll be off. So get your bets on as soon as possible.
Okay. Well, hopefully no Sunday morning disappointment. And we can start our Sunday with success this week. Field, Tom McKibben, 9-1. David Puig, 11s. Patrick Reed, the defending champion, 12-1. Dean Burmester, 16s. Paul Casey, 16s. Taylor Gooch, 18-1. Shop around, plenty of big prices about. Some monster prices out there if you go further down the list. We're going with accuracy, right? So how many are in the team?
Three.
Okay, that's nice. Okay, three runners then. Who is the main selection then for the Hong Kong Open?
Patrick Reed. It's time to get greedy with Reedy. By far the best option in this field, Dave. I couldn't believe the early 12-1. Very excited by that. He's a single figure price favourite in my humble opinion. The defending champion, as you mentioned. He carded a third round 59. Last year. His preferred lies, but obviously still a spectacular achievement. Ended the week 22 under par, three-shot victory. He was third on his Hong Kong Open debut in 2015 when it was a DP World Tour event. He was 15th in 2023, 10th in Live Hong Kong this year. Great layout for him, Dave. Doesn't hit it far, but can keep the ball in play. His wedge play, exceptional, usually deadly on the greens. That bit of breeze in the forecast that I mentioned is a positive for Reed. He's great in the wind. I think he's going to put the icing on the cake of a really decent campaign. Third in the Masters in April, Dave. Easy to forget that he hardly showed him at a shot, but he finished third in the Masters. He won Live Dallas at the end of June. He was third in the BMW PGA at Wentworth last month. Would have been a great asset to the Team USA in the Ryder Cup, as we've discussed. You know, I think he would have helped Team USA in the Ryder Cup. He's very keen to get back in that American squad. But his focus right now is retaining his world rank, and he's world number 46, which is a fantastic effort, isn't it, Dave? When live events, you don't get world ranking points. He's 46th in the world rankings. If he can stay in the top 50 to the end of the year, opens up opportunities for him. He's keeping himself busy. He warmed up for this event last week on the Asian Tour. He played in the Philippines last week, Dave, in an Asian Tour event, tied 20th, 2.5 hour flight from Philippines to Hong Kong. Primed for this title defense for me. Primed.
Well, yeah, you make a good case for him. I feel like he should be favourite now after all of that. I mean, it's interesting you talk about rankings, because obviously I think you said he was 46th. Do you remember when we were previewing the Ryder Cup and I suggested to you that John Rahm was down at 80? So yeah. For Patrick Reed to be at 46 is quite an achievement.
Absolutely. No, it shows how busy he keeps himself playing an event. Yeah, how aware he is of it and how well he's played in the big events. So, you know, third place in the Masters, as I keep saying, he didn't really get much coverage in that. You know, it was the Rory McIlroy show. The last thing that the broadcasters wanted in the Rory McIlroy show was Patrick Reed, coming into play. So, I think Patrick Reed should be the favourite. And for me to say that is really significant, Dave, because, you know, the two players that are ahead of him in the betting are two of my favourite players. But we'll come to them. For me, Patrick Reed should be favourite. And, really am very excited about this investment.
Okay, well, your enthusiasm might make him favourite. You've got enough people following you. Right. Two more players then. Who's the next best?
Kazumi Higa, a 30-year-old Japanese, neat and tidy, ideal fit for Hong Kong Golf Club. He's only played here once. His debut came in this event 12 months ago. He was world number 387 at the time, finished third. Open with a 63, closed with a 63 to finish third. This time tees up as world number 113. So he shot up the world rankings over the last 12 months. He's been playing some really consistent golf. He won on the Japan Tour in August, then again in the middle of September on the Japan Tour. Then he won an Asian Tour event at the end of September. So he's been in fantastic recent form, winning events for fun. He's a three-time Asian Tour champion. He's had six additional Japan Tour wins on that CV. Turned pro 8 years ago, and he's just been winning at every level he's played at. And playing nicely coming into this. Last week, tied second in an Asian Tour event in the Philippines, the one we discussed. So everything about Kazumi Higa makes him a huge runner this week. He's the biggest danger to Patrick Reed, in my opinion.
Okay, that's quite a statement. It's given some of the names lining up here. Right, who is the third selection?
Third and final is Saidom Kokkinjana. Saidom Kokkinjana, a 27-year-old Thai. Cool as a cucumber, Dave, because he's a professional monk as well as a professional golfer. We'll come to this in more detail later, but
forward to it, yeah.
Kokkinjana, professional monk, professional golfer, turned professional golfer in 2018, got through Asian Tour Q School, then was victorious in his very first Asian Tour event. History-making. 2019, won his first Asian Tour event. He finished seventh in the Hong Kong Open on his Hong Kong debut in 2020, 15th in the 2023 Hong Kong Open, fourth last year. So course form figures going into this week, 7-15-4. He won his second Asian Tour event in 2022. He won his third Asian Tour event in May this year. He finished 11th on his Open debut in 2022 at St. Andrews. I've always been at a lot of affection for this lad. And I think, as discussed, his temperament is his greatest strength. He won more than $1 million in the inaugural Live golf season. So he became a Liver straight away, 2022. Then 2023, quit professional golf for a bit to become ordained as a monk. Money's not the motivation.
Clearly not.
He moved to a forest temple, Dave, moved to a forest temple, didn't speak a word for a fortnight. I think this is the aspect of it you'd find most challenging. He didn't speak for a fortnight. That's part of the monk training. They fast. He wasn't the only eating he was allowed to do is if a stranger had given him, you know, shown some kindness towards him. So he's wandering around in a town in Thailand in his bare feet and really hungry. And he's only allowed to eat if a stranger takes pity on him and gives him some bread or something. Then he's not even allowed to speak. He's not even allowed to say thank you. This is all the monk training day. But the result of this monk training is it helps your temperament. You know, you if you're wandering around in your bare feet begging for bread, when you get on the golf course and you make a bogey, you stay nice and calm. He's actually talked about how he doesn't get distracted on the golf course anymore because of his monk training. Nothing can distract this lad. And before the monk training, he was a fantastic golfer. Since the monk training, he's an even better golfer. Just a really great swinger of the golf club and really consistent now. Yeah, really consistent. And last week, you might have spotted him in the Genesis, closed with a 69, 21st place. An enormous title threat, I feel, is Sadam.
Very interesting. Well, they say at the highest level of sport, most of it is between the ears. So I kind of get what you're saying there. Do they, that monk training, can children be enlisted in that? I quite like the idea of my kids not speaking for 2 weeks.
You could try it in the house. Yeah, you got to walk around bare feet. I don't know what the age limit is.
And you'll be given food when you eat when it's given to you. You won't just help yourself.
No, I'm not sure when, but he was very, very keen to complete his monk training, become ordained, and all credit to the lad. So he's 27. You're 27 years of age and has got a better temperament than you or I would suggest. 20 years younger than me, and far superior temperament.
Okay, right. Well, that is your three. Obviously, some big names. You've suggested as well, McKibben and David Puig, two players that you think very highly of. They're not in the team. Why not?
Yeah, I think very highly of both of them, but this is not the course for them. Driver is Tom McKibben's best club. Yeah. And you don't need to use driver much at Fanling, if at all. It's a bit like when Rory McIlroy was playing in the India Championship a couple of weeks ago. Do you remember? Rory McIlroy's best club is the driver. And he didn't even put the driver in the bag. And we avoided McIlroy that week. I think we need to avoid another Northern Irishman this week for similar reasons. I mean, McKibben can obviously win the golf tournament, but he's going to have to do it without using his main weapons. He finished sixth in LIV Golf Hong Kong in March this year. So he can act on the course. Obviously respect him, but don't think he represents any value. And it's the same feeling with David Puig, who is an all-guns-blazing type, an ultra-attacking golfer, likes hitting loads of drivers, powerhouse. He's hamstrung when he comes to Fanling. It's far from an ideal assignment. So, you've got two players there I don't think are suited to the track, ahead of Patrick Reed in the betting at the moment. And Patrick Reed, for me, it's perfect. He can club down off the tee. Getting it in play off the tee is the key to Patrick Reed's success. From there, his wedge play is probably top 10 player in the world wedge play, even with a lift.
You've sold him to me. He will be carrying my money, that is for sure. Patrick Reed. I've got a good feeling about this week, Steve. Asian Tour event. Is it Halloween on Friday? It's not going to be a horror show this week.
That's how we spook the bookmakers with a winner. But
is that a big thing at your house, Halloween?
Well, that was why I was in Brighton at the weekend, because there was a Halloween party arranged by my sister-in-law. So I've already done the Halloween stuff, dressed up as a menacing vicar. I didn't have much input into my
should have been a menacing monk.
I should have been a menacing monk. Well, that's the thing. They're not menacing because they're so calm. No. But you get the odd angry vicar. I didn't have much input in I was just presented with my outfit, and so I've done a Halloween party already, and then as you say, there's more to come. Is it Friday, I think, is the actual
I've been informed that we are having a Halloween party with quite a few runners, and I've not even sorted my outfit out yet, so I need
blimey.
I might just cop out and go as a Ghostbuster. We'll see.
We could try the angry monk, couldn't you? But as I say, they're pretty calm characters. I mean, Kiradek Afi Barnrat, if you remember, he liked a bit of monkship. He did a bit of monk work. I mean, it just improves you as a character. But I went angry vicar with a face all sort of you get angry occasionally, don't you, Dave? So it's
good more to let out. Not to be fair.
Do you know what the best thing about it was, Dave? Being able to pose for photos with your sort of not having to worry about smiling. So you pose for photos like menacing. You don't have to make the effort to look like you're having fun. That's the good thing about Halloween. You can just have a naturally menacing face. There are positives. No, you have fun, Dave. You've got to throw yourself into these things.
You've got to let your hair down, haven't you, and all that. So, yeah, it'd be good. Friday night, that is a thing in my house for sure, Halloween. Right, let's have a roundup then. Just the one event, the Asian Tour Hong Kong Open. Remind us who you're going with, Steve.
I will, and I just want to mention the potential for certain players to play well. Like there's a long list of players that are very well suited to this course, but they're not playing well enough for me to invest hard earning them. So you've got I think some viewers would be surprised. Like Taylor Gooch didn't get a mention because he was hero for us the other day, but he's gone off the board a little bit. Graham McDowell, Richard Bland, Wade Ormsby, Ben Campbell, John Catlin. There's some good fits, but they're not playing well enough to win this for me. So my three that are
suited. You can't have them all. You can't have them all. Yeah.
No, you can't have them all. But I just knew there'd be a few viewers wondering why Taylor Gooch didn't get a mention. But the three with the best chance of winning this trophy. And I was excited as you, Dave. There's a lot of excitement on this podcast. We've done well to bounce back from last week's Car Busters, your Angel Eora Snowman, your Michael Thorbjornsson.
Forget it. Put it behind you. Forget it.
That's it. I'm trying to just mentally just fully process that now. And there it goes. And now just do that and it's gone. So the three players that are going to get this train back on track, Patrick Reed, Kazumi Higa, and Sadam Kokanjana.
Okay, they are the three to be with. Right, we were going to be back next week, but myself and Steve will be in monk training, so we're not talking for 2 weeks. So we will see you then.
I just had a thought popped in here. Do you remember Colin Monk, the darts player? He was one of the angriest. He was one of the angriest darts players out there. Then his son was a good darts player and had the same temperament. You know, you always pass on your genes and. Two of the angriest darts players in the world, Mr. Monk. So of all the people in the world of sport who should have gone to monk training, it's the monks. That's just popped into my head. Sorry, I'll stop having annoying thoughts as you're trying to wrap these things up now. So
it's all good. We'll, of course, be back next week. Do get involved. Jump into the comments, like and subscribe here on the Racing Post YouTube channel. If you like your football, your horse racing, we've got it all boxed off. Golf, ground racing, the whole lot. Jump onto the YouTube channel and get involved. We will see you next week. Enjoy your golf this weekend. Gamble responsibly. And we'll see you next time.